I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And on behalf of the session of this church, I want to greet all of you a very, very happy and blessed Resurrection Sunday. Yes, 2,000 years ago, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was arrested, crucified, yes, and then he was buried. But on the third day, he gloriously rose up from the dead. And without this hope of the resurrection, my dear friends, as the great apostle Paul says, we would be of all men most miserable. And as we have been always doing in the past, I think it's very, very good that we all remind ourselves that our Savior is risen. And so I like us to shout out, He is risen, alright? And in unison, ready? He is risen! Once again, He is risen! And once again, He is risen! Amen! Yes, our Savior is alive. He lives, and so what? So what in a very good sense, of course. The great apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 17 to 19, he says, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ believe that we have a risen Savior. But dear friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead, and we have hope only in this life, but do not have hope in another life, indeed it is true, we are of all men most miserable. Now I'd like us to think of the disciples, the 12 disciples, those who followed the Lord Jesus Christ when he ministered on this earth. Among them, there were fishermen, at least four of them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. When the Lord called them, they left their fishing boats, they left their fishing nets, and they followed the Lord. In other words, they left their occupation to follow the Lord. Then you remember there was Matthew Levi. Matthew Levi was working as a publican. A publican was a tax collector, and he had a very lucrative occupation. He left his occupation and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure the other disciples did the same thing, perhaps with the exception of Judas. They left their occupation and followed the Lord. And then among the early church followers, there must have been many who left their jobs to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not surprised at all if those two disciples who were walking along the road to the village of Emmaus that first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead did the same thing. Yes, those two disciples, they must have done the same thing, left their jobs, followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the Savior was crucified, dead, buried, you know how they must have felt. You put yourselves in that position. Here was the Savior, or the leader, their leader who told them, at least that was how they interpreted, that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom. And they were going to have very, very prominent places in his kingdom. And now he's dead and gone. Now how would you feel if you were in that position? My dear friends, surely you would be very, very disappointed, very shattered, very discouraged, very dejected, and also I'm sure you would have felt, you would feel very, very hopeless. That afternoon, on that Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, when the two disciples were very, very sorrowfully and sadly walking to the village of Emmaus, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them. The disciples didn't recognize them, because the Lord Jesus had held back their eyes, so they didn't recognize him. And I'd like us to look at the conversation that took place between the Lord Jesus and these two disciples. Please turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Luke 24 and verse 17. Luke 24 and verse 17. And Jesus said unto them, to these two disciples, one of whom was Cleopas, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk? And are sad. They were sad, dejected, disappointed. Verse 18. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Jesus, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And Jesus said unto them, what things? And they said, oh, unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a mighty prophet, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. Verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him into the hands of Pontius Pilate, of course, to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. Verse 21. You see their hope in the Lord. Verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We trusted that it should be having he who would deliver us from the rule of the Romans. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. Verse 23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us, meaning to say Peter and John, went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him, Jesus, they saw not. You can imagine how disappointed, how dejected, how puzzled they were. Yes, Jesus was condemned, went to the cross, died, was buried, and then what happened? Now some women folk went to the tomb. Two disciples went to the tomb. They couldn't find his body. His body had disappeared. You know, in what state of mind these two disciples would have been in. I know a couple who had an only son. This couple were believers. They had an only son who was also a believer. Now, their son was a smart boy. He graduated from university, and because he was good, he was hired by an American company. And this company then sent him to the U.S. for training. But while he was there, a short time after he was there, he died in a fatal accident. Now, surely the hopes of the couple and their son would have been completely shattered. Yes, is life worth living for them, you might ask? Is life worth living for them? No, of course not. If they had pinned all their hopes on this only son of theirs, but is life worth living for them? That's the question we want to answer afterwards. But before we answer this question, let us see what further transpired between the Lord Jesus Christ and the two disciples. Verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools! See, fools, in a very tender manner. Alright, it was not derogatory. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, meaning from the beginning, from the books of Moses, the five books of Moses, and all the prophets, the writing of the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village of Emmaus, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and to stay with them. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened. You remember, their eyes were holden, held back by the Lord Jesus Christ, so they didn't recognize him. But now their eyes were open, and they knew him. In other words, they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Verse 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 11 disciples gathered together, and then that were with them. In other words, there were others who were with them also, other followers with the 11 disciples. And these folks whom they met told these two disciples, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon Peter." Verse 35. And these two disciples told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Friends, these two disciples knew that their Savior was alive. He did rise up from the dead. And I dare say that as of that day, there would never be a single thought in their mind that life was not worth living. I'm very, very sure of that. Yes, they realized that their life on this earth was connected to another life to come. Yes, a life that will be perfectly glorious. Their life was eternal. There was going to be a resurrection of their lives when they pass away from this earth. Their hope in life did not end with the end of their lives. And like what Paul said later on, Paul said this, "Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Christ is the first fruit. And all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will be subsequent fruits. The first fruit to rise up from the dead. And all those who believe in him will be the subsequent fruits that will rise up with him. And that's going to happen to us, my dear friends, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who died in him. We will rise up with him. Just as he rose up from the dead, we will rise up with him. Life, therefore, my dear friends, was worth living for those two disciples, because there was the hope of the resurrection for them to look forward to. You have the hope of the resurrection to look forward to. If you don't have, of course, life might just not be worth living. But you have it. If you have it, life would be worth living. Now you look at the 11 disciples. I should say 10, because Judas had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had gone to hang himself. And that night, Thomas was not with them, so there were only 10 of them. Yes, on that first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead at evening, the disciples, 10 of them, were gathered in this room in the city of Jerusalem. And they met behind locked doors because they were very, very fearful of the Jews who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. They were very fearful that they might be arrested also. And then surely they must have been very dejected, disappointed. They must have felt very, very hopeless also, just like the two disciples that were walking to the road of along the road to the village of Emmaus. Their hope was completely shattered, and they were immobilized with fear. I'd like us to look at John chapter 20 and verses 19 and 20. John 20, 19 and 20. Please look at these two verses. John 20, 19 and 20 and 21. John 20, 19 to 21. Verse 19. Let me read the verses for you. "Then the same day," meaning to say that Sunday, the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead, at evening, before being the first day of the week, Sunday is reckoned as the first day of the week, "when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you." Verse 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so sent are you. Then were the disciples glad." Then did the disciples rejoice. Now I ask you this question. Did they find life worth living? Yes, of course, they surely did. Not until then, yes, but as of that time, they found life worth living. They were filled with the hope of the resurrection. And what is the biggest proof that they found life worth living? You see, 50 days after that, as of the day of Pentecost, 50 days after that was the day of Pentecost. And as of that day, these disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ never stopped preaching Christ. The Christ who died for them. The Christ who rose up for them. Yes, life was worth living because they were worshipping not the dead Savior, but the living Savior. Not serving a dead Savior, but serving a living Savior. Now let's come back to this couple that we were talking about who lost their only son. Now is this present life worth living for them? It is not. My dear friends, if they do not have the hope of the resurrection to look forward to, their son died and that was it. And soon they will be dying, they will be dying too, and that will be it. But friends, we have the hope of the resurrection in the Lord Jesus Christ. Physical life does not end their lives. This present life of theirs is connected to lives to come, lives that are more meaningful, lives that are infinitely glorious. Today, the wife is physically weak. She's very weak. But faithfully, this couple has been going to church to worship the Lord. Of course, when you talk about the son, they naturally will be very sad. But friends, they have this great and blessed hope of seeing the son again. And that gives them great hope. That makes life worth living for them. It is worth living because Jesus lives. Jesus is alive. And that makes life worth living for them. They have the great and blessed hope of the resurrection to look forward to. So that's my first point. Yes, because he lives, yes, we have the hope of the resurrection, life is worth living. Now, because he lives, all that he says is true. That's my second point. Yes, because he lives, all that he says must be true. Now, I told you before, I love my mother very dearly. And when I was a child, she told me many things about life. And I always believed her. And then there was a stage in my life when I was in primary school. I told you before, we had to be separated from mother because our schools were in town and we studied in town and mother was living in the countryside. And it was only during weekends that we had the opportunities to visit with her. And it was during school holidays that I had the opportunity to have an extended stay with her. My mother loves to watch Teochew Chinese opera. And whenever there was an opera show that came, the opera show the opera was not shown in our village, but in the village next to ours, mother would invariably go. But she would not go in the night. She would go during the day to watch the afternoon show. And then before she left, she would tell me, "Son, don't worry, I'll come back by a certain time. When I come back, I'll bring you some goodies." She promised to buy me certain things. And she never failed. But it was always by a certain time, she would be back home and she would have brought the things that she said she would buy for me. And the wait for her usually felt like endless hours, I can tell you, in that quiet house, as the little boy in that house. But mother never failed. She would bring back and she would come back at that time she promised she would come back and she would bring the nice things for me. But what if mother, on some occasions, came back late? What if mother, on some occasions, didn't come back and came back the next day? Could I trust her? No, my dear friends. I would not be able to trust what she said. And all the things that she said in my life, I say, true or false? True or false? Maybe false. Mother cannot be trusted. But friends, mother could be trusted because she always came back on time. She said she would and she would come back on time. So, in my little mind, I always trusted my mother, trusted what she said. Friends, because the Lord Jesus Christ lives, all that he said must be true. Remember he said, "I would die. In 3 days' time, I will rise up from the dead." My dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. And therefore, all that he said about himself, all the claims that he made, all the promises that he made, and all the prophecies concerning future events must be true because he rose up from the dead. Now listen to what he said in Mark chapter 8 verse 31. I'd like us to look at this verse. Mark 8, 31. Mark 8:31. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them, Jesus began to teach them, that the Son of Man must suffer many things, then here referring to the disciples, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. The Lord made it very, very clear. He would be killed, and after 3 days he would rise again. And as we said, my dear friends, if the Lord Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead, then we can very well dismiss all that he said. All that he said. Isn't it true? All the promises that he made, we say false. The claims about himself, false. The prophecies concerning future, false. But friends, the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. And listen to some claims that the Lord made of himself. He said, I and my Father are one. True or false? Of course true. How do we know it's true? Because he rose up from the dead. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. True or false? True, because he rose up from the dead. And he said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. True or false? True, because he rose up from the dead. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. True or false? Absolutely true. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. True or false? Absolutely true, my dear friends, because he rose up from the dead. And he made these promises to us. He said, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. True or false? True, friends. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Of course, it's absolutely true, my dear friends. We must believe what he said. He died and he rose up from the dead as he said he would. And then he said this also in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. He said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. True or false? Absolutely true. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He said he went, and it's true he went. He said he's coming again. True or false? True, he's coming again. Because he died and he rose up from the dead as he said he would. Now, so because he lives, all the claims, all the promises, all the prophecies concerning the future must be true. Now, there are two promises, either of two promises, that are applicable to every one of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are yet to be fulfilled. One is the promise of the resurrection, right? We die, buried, we believe in Christ, we will rise again. That is not fulfilled yet, as far as all of us here are concerned. Another promise he's given to us is, if we are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, my dear friends, he will catch us up, we'll be raptured, we'll be with him. This has not been fulfilled yet. But these promises are true, applicable to us. Now the question that you might ask is, we've been talking about the fact that he rose up from the dead. But what proof do we have that he rose up from the dead? Or what proofs do we have? Of course there are many proofs, right? But I give you one proof, and this is my favorite proof. Now, the proof is in the behavior of the disciples. Thursday night, the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. What did the disciples do? They deserted him. They fled. Remember, before the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, all of them said, Lord, if we have to die with you, we'll die with you. But on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested, all of them fled. Now, what did that kind of behavior reflect? It, of course, reflected cowardice. They were cowards. Yes. But then, 53 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the very same disciples that deserted the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and preached to the Jews, the very Jews who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? 53 days earlier, they ran away from them. 53 days later, they stood up and boldly preached Jesus Christ to them. What's the explanation, friends? The explanation is this. They saw the resurrected Lord. They fellowshiped with Him. They ate with Him. They touched Him. They heard Him. Yes, that's the explanation. They saw the resurrected Lord. And you see, on the day of Pentecost, the message was centered on the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, that is the biggest proof for me that the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection was indeed true and is indeed true. Now, because He lives, our prayers are not vain. Right? You said, because He lives, our life is worth living. Because He lives, all that He says must be absolutely true. And because He lives, our prayers are not vain. In other words, our prayers will be answered. Now, one of the commonest religions that Singaporeans and Malaysians believe in is this religion called the Chinese religion. Alright, if you were to ask a Singaporean what religion he believes in, he will probably tell you, oh, I'm a Buddhist or a Taoist or something like that. But in actual fact, most of them believe in what is known as the Chinese religion. It is a mixture of three beliefs. Taoism, maybe four, Confucianism, Buddhism, and ancestor worship. Four things, alright? Now, I remember when I was much younger, grandmother and mother, at that time my mother was not a believer yet, they would hold their joysticks and they would worship our ancestors. My mother always would utter one whole list of prayer requests to my dead ancestors. But I can tell you this, the prayers were all in vain. No matter how great and no matter how powerful my ancestors were, all right, of course they were not powerful or anything like that, but if they were powerful, even if they were powerful, their prayers, the prayers of my mother and grandmother would be in vain. Why? Because my ancestors were all dead. They could never answer their prayers. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, while He ministered on this earth, performed great miracles. He healed the sick, the lame, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, and then there were occasions when He raised people from the dead. And then there was the occasion when He fed 5,000. Remember, He multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes and He fed 5,000. And then there was the occasion when He stilled the storms of the Sea of Galilee. Powerful! Yes? And He said this, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask in my name and you will receive." He was great and He was powerful. But friends, if our Lord Jesus Christ did not rise up from the dead, no matter how powerful He was, my dear friends, no matter how great He was, our prayer requests would be in vain. He could never answer our prayers, and we could never go through Him to reach the one true living God. But because He lives, our prayers are not in vain. We can go through Him to the one true living God. He says in John chapter 15 verse 16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." In my name. My dear friends, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ didn't rise up from the dead, you can utter His name many times. My dear friends, it's useless. Our prayers will not be answered. But because He lives, our prayers are not in vain. Because He lives, He can serve as our perfect high priest, through whom we can come boldly unto God's wonderful throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And we have this recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. 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 I'll read for you. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, meaning Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, passed into the heavens means he rose up from the dead and he had ascended to heaven. Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Double negatives there. What it means is that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because he lives, we can come boldly into God's wonderful throne of grace. And then Hebrews 7:25. Look at the next verse. Hebrews 7:25. I read for you. Hebrews 7:25. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore, Jesus is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, alive forever, to make intercession for them. My dear friends, he is alive and he's praying for us, making intercession for us. But most important of all, my dear friends, he can transform our prayers, which most times are very insipid, very faithless, into prayers which are very eloquent and intelligible in the ears of the one true living God. Thank God for this Savior of ours. Because he lives, our prayers are not in vain. Next, because he lives, death may be faced boldly, squarely. We no longer need fear death because we know exactly where we are going when we pass away from this earth. Years ago, during one of the most turbulent desert wars in the Middle East, a spy was caught. And he was brought before this Persian general. Now, this Persian general was actually a very intelligent man, and he was quite compassionate. And before the prisoners were executed, he would always give them two choices: face the firing squad or walk through a black door. And then these prisoners were to think it over. Now, this spy who was caught was brought before this general. And he gave him the two choices. He ran back, thought it over, and he came back. He said, I'll face the firing squad. Now, why did he choose to face the firing squad? The reason is this. The firing squad was something that was known. Alright, he would die, but the death would be instantaneous. But walking through the dark door, the black door, what's beyond the black door? It is unknown. That unknown could be worse than facing the firing squad. And so these generals said, in all the years of his arresting people and putting people to death, he said, most times people will opt for facing the firing squad. But what was actually beyond the black door? It was actually freedom. He was offering them freedom. You pick a choice, face the firing squad or go to the black door, beyond which is freedom. But most people did not want to go to the black door because it was into a state of unknown. But friends, thank God, we believers in the Lord Jesus Christ can have this comfort. Death is not a great leap into the unknown. Death has been conquered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because Jesus rose up from the dead, we go through the door of death. And you know what happens to us? The Word of God says, if we are believers, immediately our soul goes right into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Word of God says, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Yes, and then we also have this hope of the resurrection. One day, the body that we left behind in the earth is going to be reunited with the soul that has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it will happen on the day of resurrection when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Yes, and so the Lord says this to us, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Of course we will die the physical death, but we will not have to face the second death, the death in the lake of fire. That's why the Lord says, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believers doubt this? I always delight to share the testimony of the late Mr. Lord Yatmin. I trust you never tire hearing me narrating his testimony. He wrote this track, Thank God for Cancer. It was through his cancer that he came to trust Jesus as his Lord and Savior. He was diagnosed with it in hospital, and he was ministered to in hospital by an elder of our church who was working as a doctor in that hospital. And he came to believe in Jesus through the ministry of this doctor. And during the times when he was going through great sufferings, he was ministered to by our church. Of course, he was very sad that he had to leave his family. But was he fearful of death? No, not fearful of death at all. And I remember there was this occasion where my wife and I said, let's go visit Mr. Lord. It was the last few days of his life on this earth. And we were so downhearted, so heavy-hearted, because we did not know what to say to her. What would we do to him? What were we going to say to him to comfort him? So when we arrived at the hospital, went into the ward, and there he was lying in bed, and his wife was standing beside his bed. And when he saw us, his mouth was covered with the oxygen mask. His nose, mouth, covered with oxygen mask. When he saw us, he almost leapt up into a sitting position. And we talked. And as soon as the visit was almost over, we prayed with him, and then, very sadly, I said to him, the Lord bless you. And you know what he did? He waved both his arms. In the most cheerful manner, he said, the Lord bless all of you. Now, we went there to try to comfort him, when we didn't know how. We came away comforted instead, because this man had no fear of death. And I remember a few weeks earlier, when he was still, when he was stronger, but he knew that he was living his last days, he gave this testimony in front of the church. He stood up at the worship service and he said, when I pass away, please don't be sad, but don't call it passing away, call it home going, because I'm going home to be with the Lord. And I want to tell you this, he said, I'm happily going to travel on this transportation known as the Eternity Express. I'm going home on the Eternity Express. And then not long after that, he went home to be with the Lord. What a beautiful testimony this man bore, because he was not afraid of death. He believed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus lived, and because he lived, he knew that he would live also. So friends, because Jesus lives, life is worth living. It is so, life is worth living because this present life of ours is connected to another life, one that is perfectly glorious. And we know that we do not perish. We know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And the body that we leave behind after we pass away, one day will be reunited with the soul that has gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worth living because we have this wonderful hope of seeing our loved ones again. Yes, this connection with them is not broken eternally. One day we are going to see them again. And because he lives, we know that all that he says about himself, all the promises that he made, all the prophecies that he made must be absolutely true. Yes, and this truth enables us to live our lives here joyously, meaningfully. And because he lives, we know that our prayers are not in vain. Our prayers will surely be answered because we are worshipping the one true living God, the living Savior. And finally, because he lives, we have no fear of death. We know exactly where we are going. When we live, the soul leaves the body, is going to be present with the Lord, the living Lord, the living Savior. Now before I end, I want to ask you, if you are an unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I feel sorry for you because you do not have the hope of the resurrection, because you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But today, if you will come to trust the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, believe that He died for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that He shed His precious blood for you. And believe that He rose up from the dead for you. And you come to Him today and you're willing to repent from your sins and willing to receive Him into your heart. And you say, Lord, living Savior, come into my heart. Live in my heart. Dwell in me and control me. And if you mean it, He will take you at your word. He will come into your hearts today and be your Savior. And once He's your Savior, you have this hope of the resurrection to look forward to. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for our risen Savior. We thank you that because He rose up from the dead, we have this hope of the resurrection to look forward to. And we thank you that because He lives, life is worth living. And because He lives, all that He said is absolutely true. And because He lives, our prayers are not vain. And because He lives, we know that one day we will be seeing Him face to face and we shall be like Him. And because He lives, Lord, we know that we have no fear of death. And Father, we want to commit to you those who do not know you as Lord and Savior yet. We pray that they will not wait, but this morning they may commit their lives to you. They will come and trust Jesus as the Lord and Savior and say to Him that they are willing to repent from their sins and to receive Him as Lord and Savior. Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to answer our prayers in accordance to your mercies and your will. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.